What would you like?
Well,
no,
I,
when we start the meeting, I don't know how we're going to pledge allegiance because there's no flag in here. But
yeah.
One right there, outside the window. Diagonal, we go towards that direction.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
There we go.
All right.
Okay, so Jerry, can you do the pledge allegiance?
Wait, right now, right again.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you for coming to August Plum Committee meeting agenda. And I'd like to get a roll call. Jerry, would you like to do that?
Hi guys, we got Karina.
I'm here.
Howard?
Here.
Maria?
Here.
Here.
Okay, so we have a quorum. So comments from the chair. I guess the only updates I could probably give is the status of the Arby's sign that's been removed.
Right.
Just last week, and I heard that the Valley Relics is trying to obtain it because
I think they did.
I
saw it on their webpage on Facebook.
Yeah, actually, I was at the Valley Relics last Saturday, and I talked to the person there to see what was going on because. Right now it's in at a, I guess a scrapyard, and they're trying to make some kind of deal with the Arby's to see if they could take it.
Yeah.
And they're still working on it. It hasn't been finalized, but just as an update, they're still working on it. So that's about it. Is there anybody who would like to do a public comment? Okay.
Is this an opportunity for me to say something?
Yes.
What we
sure.
talked about?
Yes.
My name is Sandy Logan, and we are from National Council of Alcohol and Drug Dependency. I have the LA County contract of prevention. I'm the prevention coordinator, and our goal is to decrease underage drinking and the use of marijuana. So I'm here today to kind of get more information in regards to how we can make the retailers a little more compliant
mm-hmm.
and help decrease underage drinking. Part of my goals are I work with the schools, I work with students, I'm trying to change policy at the schools, LA Unified to be exact, and then I also work with the families and try to educate them on the alcohol and drug effects. Opening up that door of communication because it's a subject that a lot of people don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that is talking to the retailers. And I was telling Maria mm-hmm. that we go ahead and we talk to the retailers and we educate them and try to make them realize that we want them to be successful, but not at the cost of our children.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to also let them realize that the liability they are responsible for by selling alcohol to a minor. And also telling their staff that, because a lot of the staffs believe it's the owner's responsibility and it's not theirs. But
mm-hmm.
they are responsible if a child buys alcohol and gets into an auto accident and ends up tracing it back to that location, they can both be going to jail if it's a bad enough situation.
Yeah, if they see them inebriated and they're still drinking and they...
Well, that's intoxication, but
yeah.
also just being a minor. We're not supposed to sell alcohol to minors.
Yeah.
So we put stickers. We have one campaign that's called a Sticker Shock, and we're putting stickers on their windows on where they sell single cans. It looks kind of like a stop sign, and it says it's illegal to buy alcohol for a minor.
It's illegal in the city of Los Angeles to sell single cans.
But there are a lot of them that still do.
Wow.
And that's one of the things I was hoping that I can get some information from, because I know it's illegal in the city of L.A., but a lot of the stores still do sell them.
Right.
Single cans. I actually had one store who taped three, with like scotch tape, you know, taped three cans together, so now she's not selling single cans anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I had this conversation with the treasurer of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council at about 4:30 this afternoon.
Jean.
Jeanette.
Joy. Yeah,
Jeanette.
She came to my meeting this morning.
I know. She told me she did. And I was hoping she was going to come tonight, but she had other responsibilities that she had to do for
another aspect of the council.
Right.
And out of that meeting, she was asked to, by the Circle K owner that was right down the street, to go to work for him because she's, you know, a bulldog when it comes to this stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it is great. Unfortunately, you know, she's going to have her son do it, I think, but that's terrific. Just so you know, I do the Every 15 Minutes program. I don't know if you're familiar with the Every 15 Minutes program, but it is a program that goes from school to school to school, and it has to be coordinated by a school district. Unfortunately, the Los Angeles City School District does not have an Every 15 Minutes program in there. But what we do is, it's a full-on production.
Is that the one with the Hart School District?
We do it in Calabasas. We do it in Beverly Hills. We do it in Pacific Palisades. We do it in a number of schools, but nothing within the Los Angeles
School District.
Mm-hmm. Because it can run into some serious money, and
there
has to be money dedicated. But what we do is we select five students from five classes. Mm-hmm. We put them in a car. We set up the scenario that they were driving drunk,
mm-hmm.
and that they crashed. They killed a teacher on school premises, and two of the students died upon impact that they went through the windshield. So all of this is shot on video. We have the loss. We have the coroner there, the fire department there. The kids are taken out of class, telling them that their friends have died in a car accident. The students that do die, hi Candy. The students that do die are held overnight in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We put them up in a hotel. And the next day, their parents have to, they go to the morgue, and their parents have to identify their body at the morgue.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, and all the kids see all of this. We put screens around it, and they're in bleachers, and they witness this whole thing. We play the accident out. The kids' heads are through the windshield. There's blood everywhere. I mean, it's a full-on production. And at the end of this thing, the football players are crying. I mean, everybody in those stands are weeping that their friends have just died. I mean, it's very, very real. When they go into the thing, everybody's going, dude, you know, and they're hitting each other and they're saying this is bogus. And by the end of it, they're in tears.
Wow.
Everybody's in tears. The program lasts about 2 hours. The kids are taken out of class. We only do it with the seniors.
Right.
And then the following day, the day that they're held overnight and that their bodies are identified by their parents, the next day there's an assembly in the auditorium of the various high schools. And they go through the ramifications of drunk driving and the statistics. Every 15 minutes, a kid dies with an alcohol-related death.
Yeah.
And that's where the name of the program comes from.
I heard something similar to that, that Santa Clarita, the
we did do it
Hart
in Santa,
School District.
We did do it in Santa
yeah,
Clarita.
Yeah, because actually I work with Kathy Hunter, who is the head of Santa Clarita School District, and she was telling me about this program.
Yeah.
And they have a Green Reaper that comes to the class
absolutely.
And takes the students
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. With his sigh or,
yeah.
his, you know, and the whole
so,
thing.
That would be something, the only thing I do here with the, I teach at Fulton High School, and
mm-hmm.
I also teach at Champs High School.
Okay.
And what
oh,
we
cool.
do is the crash cars with the police officers, which the kids don't believe. I've sat there and I've been around just looking at the car and they're like, no, this doesn't happen. They're just trying to scare us. This isn't real.
Yeah.
And it's an actual car of someone passing away because they've been drinking under the influence.
Oh, yeah. We always get a car of someone who's actually died.
And the kids don't believe it.
Yeah.
But I love we need to talk about maybe how we can get Unified to do this.
Sure.
My ultimate goal right now is working with LA Unified and eventually getting a little bit more ground covered, and then going to the board and talking to them about changing policy. Because at this point, when we were all in high school, if you got caught with alcohol or drug, you got to, went to the police.
Yeah.
You got cited.
Mm-hmm.
You got some kind of ticket. You got everything happened to you. Now it's kind of keep it hush hush. Deal with it in house.
Internal.
They only cover it and say, you know, just follow the game all day. And I'm like, what are we talking to? What are we telling our kids? There's no consequences. So why would they stop?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, we've even taken the program to Mexico City. And, I mean, it was completely embraced down there. They flew us down, you know, 24-hour-a-day bodyguards. They were really they were really nice to us down there. But, yeah, my production partner and I do this. And we've done over 600 of them.
We need to talk.
Yeah.
We need to talk. Because I would love for us to be able to work.
Yeah.
And bring that to you.
So how do you want us to get involved with your program? Do you want to do present it to our general meeting as far as...
I could do a presentation. What I'm looking for is figuring out what exactly you guys are able to do. And she was explaining to me about approving and not approving.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to figure out how we can get more power behind us to get the retailers to understand that this is real.
That's where it starts. I mean, that's where it starts and really stops is with the retailer. Because if the alcohol is not available, end of story.
Exactly.
You know, supply and demand. If you cut it off there, that's the end of the game.
Right.
So that's the education of the retailer is where it really lives and dies. Well, what I would suggest is the first Monday of every month is our executive board meeting, and it takes place at 6262 Van Nuys Boulevard, which is directly on the corner in the Marvin Brody Constituency Center.
Okay.
At 6:30 is for our executive board meeting.
As far as what you go to the schools, what do you do as far as do you go to each class and
I actually get, I'm really blessed. I can teach, I've taken over three classes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, at Champs, they let me take over their PE classes.
Mm-hmm.
So I take over the ninth graders, three classes in a row, and I can talk to them. They have the same group of kids for at least a good 10 weeks with me, once a week.
Wow.
Then at Fulton, I do two classes, and I'm hoping to do three this year for them. And I have a health teacher that helps me there.
Is Fulton a middle school or a high school?
It's both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there used to be a middle school.
Yeah.
It used to be a middle school.
Yeah.
Now it's both.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. It was a middle school when I was still in middle school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Things change.
Yeah. So I get an opportunity to work with the students directly in their classroom. I get them for a good 10 weeks, and I end up finishing off, because I have an evidence-based program that's called Project Success, that I work with them. And it's not so much about alcohols are bad. I'm not here dictating to them, but I'm talking about, what happens to your body at a young age?
Mm.
And you're introducing the substance to it.
And you might have the gene that...
You might have
that.
Mm-hmm. We talk about coping skills. We talk about family relationships, how to deal with a family member or a friend that is involved in alcohol, and how that changes our environment. We talk about the causes of alcohol. The illusion, you know, one of the illusion things I do with them is a shot of tequila and a shot of a beer is the same amount of alcohol, you know. And when they see that, it's a visual, and I put in like a little drops of iodine color solution in there, and I'll give a glass of beer, a glass of wine, and a shot of tequila, supposedly. It's all water, two drops of color dye in each one. They, which one has the most alcohol? Oh, the tequila does, because it's the strongest, but realistically exactly the same in each one. And they start to understand the concept of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about brain development. We talk about choices and how we learn. My simple example for them is learning to cross the street. At what age were you confident and you were safe to be able to cross the street? Well, realistically, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
You were a little safer. But at the beginning, my four-year-old will tell you she knows how to cross the street, and she just whips her head from side to side and nothing. She doesn't see anything, but she whips her head, and she thinks that she's doing it. But mm-hmm. it's not going to take a couple more years of development for her to figure out, oh, is that red car moving? Is it going to go? Should I stop and wait? That takes a little time. And I use those kind of examples for them to realize that the alcohol will slow those learning moments in their lives.
And then you've got alcohol fetal syndrome also. You
mm-hmm.
know? So, and I mean, these people are, you know, that you're preaching to are not beyond having children. So, I mean, you know, I mean, they're at the absolute prime age.
Exactly. And then on the flip side, we're trying to help decrease the use of marijuana as well.
Mm.
And that's a hard one because we've got a lot of pot places that have come
up.
Yeah,
dispensaries that are not under Prop D.
Yeah, and they're not being regulated. You have a doctor in the back room who for
yeah.
$30-$40 can give me a card saying my eyelashes hurt, and here you go, here's a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've talked with CD6, the Council District 6 is Neri Martinez, and
yeah.
we've talked with Neri on numerous occasions. And what we are asking her to do, because there are 138, is it? It's either 134 or 138.
Exactly.
That are under Prop D, that are grandfathered in, which is 138 too many as far
exactly.
as I'm concerned. But that's beside the point. I mean, it was voter passed, and that's not a damn thing we can do about that. But the fact is that marijuana is an illegal drug, and it is illegal on a federal statutory level. So what we've asked her to do is that there are 15 council districts within the city of Los Angeles, and there are 138 legal pot dispensaries, which means that there are 9 pot dispensaries per council district, and so we've asked for parity. We have 68, I believe, in Van Nuys right now. So we've asked for parity. There shouldn't be any reason that just because our rents are lower than they are in West Los Angeles or Studio
mm-hmm.
City, that we should have a disproportionate amount of pot clinics. So we've asked her to introduce legislation that each council district will have no more than 9 pot dispensaries. We'll see how it goes.
So that's in process right now?
She's taking it under advisement. They're talking to the city attorney and come up with language, and as soon as it makes it out of the city attorney's office and the committee, then it'll be introduced to the city council.
Okay.
We'll see. I didn't come up with it. The president
did. You don't have a card?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just for the record, we have Kambi Marabi.
Yes.
Present.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you're able to come to our general meeting and do a presentation. And
well, let's have her come initially to
the executive.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
The executive meeting.
Yes. Which
okay.
again, first Monday of every month, and at 6262 Van Nuys Boulevard, meeting room B. I'm sorry, meeting room A, which is the smaller of the two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But it's smack dab on the corner of Sylvan and Van Nuys Boulevard, right at that apex.
Okay.
That's where the rotunda is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and would you like me to present at that?
Absolutely.
Or just
absolutely
okay.
present.
Yeah, because I think there's other board members who are probably interested.
Right.
As much
Jeanette
as...
Jeanette would be there. I would be there.
I would say Maria.
Yeah. Who is the outreach chair? She will be there.
Okay.
President
we'd
obviously will be there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much, Sandy.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll keep in contact.
Sure.
And,
mm-hmm.
and feel free to give me a call.
I will.
You know.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you so much.
So,
I have your email address here. I'll just email you the agenda.
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. So right now we're getting to old business, which we don't have, and now we're at new business, item six. I was going to have Paul and Nan, but to do the beautification ad hoc committee, but I didn't get a response and was trying to have him sort of lead that, mm-hmm. but no Paul. Yeah. So to item 6B, Valley on Track, requests a letter support for rail on East Valley Transit Line. Valley on Track supports the expansion of the Metro Rail system along the Orange Line, the planned transit corridors in the San Fernando Valley in order to get the Valley on Track to a 21st century transit system. And we have now is Douglas Arsenal?
Yes, Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Hi.
From Vika, who's going to do the presentation.
Hi, as I said, I'm Doug Arsenal. I'm from the Valley Industry and Commerce Association. We're one of the founding members of the Valley on Track Coalition, which we'd love for your support and you to join us in the coalition. As is listed on the agenda, we are working to ensure that the Valley gets its proper portion of transportation funds and that those funds are invested into a real rail system here in the Valley. We, of course, here in the Valley have 2.5 miles of rail, and not a single dollar of Measure R is currently dedicated to any rail here. I'm sure you all are familiar with the East San Fernando Valley Transit Corridor, the Van Nuys line right here, which we are advocating to ensure that that is built as a light rail system that can be comparable with the other systems, the other rail lines in the system. We're also working on converting the Orange Line to a light rail system, since it's the east-west backbone of the Valley. And then, of course, eventually the Sepulveda Pass project, which is essentially just phase two of the East Valley Transit Corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go on and on, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Start date for the conversion of the Orange Line would be what?
That'll depend on when the money comes in.
Okay.
We'd like to see it as soon as possible. Metro is looking at a new ballot measure for the ballot in 2016. We want to make sure that this is on the list and that it's done at the front of the line. Okay. The Valley, as you know, in Measure R was put essentially at the back of the line. You know, we have a project in each decade. We have the Orange Line extension, but that was already funded before Measure R. Here, the East Valley Transit Corridor, but that is wildly underfunded. They've dedicated $190 million to it, which is sounds like a lot of money, but it's a fraction of what is going to other regions. To build a light rail system, we're probably looking at between $2 and $3 billion.
Is it federally funded, or is it state funded? Will it come from a measure from sales tax increase? What's the proposal?
Well, so the measure is similar to Measure R, but it would be it'd be a 0.5%, and it would probably be for 45 years is what we're hearing. That's all Metro's deal, and I met with the Move LA representatives, Denny Zane, who is a big advocate for transportation, about what they're looking at. We just want to make sure that any additional ballot measure, any federal funding that's coming in, and any other revenue sources, that the Valley's getting its fair share.
Okay.
We're 20% of the county, we should have 20% of the funding.
I was at the Panorama City Mobility Committee, and Douglas was doing a presentation. You did a statistic as far as how much a percent of what we pay in taxes go back to the Valley. You mentioned like something like 8% or something.
Yeah, so out of Measure R, we got about 5%, which is just absurd compared to the fact that we're 20% of the county.
Yeah.
So we deserve not only more funding through any future ballot measures, but also and federal funding sources, but also to backfill some of that we didn't get out of Measure R. So we're going to be advocating for the Valley projects to be at the front of the line and for them to be fully funded.
What would be an estimated time for completion, from start date to completion date, for the east-west
The orange line?
Conversion of the orange line, yes.
It'll depend on how fast they dedicate the revenue, but it can be done in segments. We would like it done, as I said, as soon as possible. I would think 2020 would be a reasonable period of time, but Metro is, you know, it's all going to be a balancing act on all the regions, but we want to make sure that the Valley really has a leg to stand on.
Consider the absurdity of the fact that the Orange Line occupies the same property that the tracks actually ran on, and now that we're going to rip up the pavement and reinstall the track?
It's absurd, yeah.
Well, there
because they ripped up the track.
Yeah. I think Jerry knows the story behind it.
I think there was like a law that was passed in the early 90s that would prohibit the rail line.
Yes.
That's right. The what we call the Robbins Bell.
Yes.
Yeah. It was SB 211 in 1991, which this year we got overturned.
Was that Alan Robbins?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Know him well.
So, Assembly Member Adrian Nazarian carried legislation to get rid of SB 211, and Valley on Track was the sponsor of that legislation.
Do you see any resistance to that actually taking place? Because in 1991, you didn't anticipate resistance to what was there then.
Right. So the major opposition were the Orthodox Jewish community, Studio City along the Chandler Boulevard.
Right. Yes.
The rabbi from there.
Yes.
Some of them have moved away, but the rabbi in that synagogue actually was supportive of the legislation.
Wonderful.
Because they've seen that the Orange Line didn't have the major impacts that they expected it to.
And it's been successful because people are using than they imagine.
Exactly. Yeah, they estimated originally about 5,000 initial ridership, reaching about 15,000. It was 16,000 upon opening. We're now at 32,000.
Yeah.
Which is far exceeds what the system can use. Yeah.
And with light rail, how would that increase the ridership, and what's the cost effectiveness here?
Sure. So the ridership or the capacity is about double what it would be on a bus line. But in addition to the capacity itself, because the trains are able to move at a much faster pace than the buses, they can get from 0 to about 45, which is what a light rail averages, in about 6 seconds, as opposed to a bus that takes a minute. The ability for the mode to move a lot faster allows for capacity to be even more significant than that. So it's at least double, if not more.
Are they looking for any elevation at all so that it, because obviously if something moving at 45 miles an hour with multiple crossings, I mean, within this one area here,
right,
we have a crossing on every single street, Cedros, Tyrone, you know, Chandler, I'm not Chandler, well, yes, there is on Chandler, but I mean, right down the line, you know, we had a number of accidents that took place initially. That's been stemmed, thank God.
Right.
I think it's more people noticing it and sort of getting used to the...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So a light rail system would come with both what's called grade separation. So it wouldn't run at the same rail. Essentially, it would go over or under. It would also come with crossing gates to prevent accidents like that.
Mm-hmm. And when's the break even on something like this for the city of Los Angeles? What would be a break even ridership and estimated date?
You know, I don't know that what the cost is per rider, but I know that it's significantly less with a light rail system because it holds up a lot longer. Mm. The longevity of the system is a lot more significant than the buses, which need constant repair. Another issue that is particularly important for Van Nuys is the bus lines kick up a lot of particulate matter because they're running on asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all coming up into the air. There was a study done at UCLA in partnership with Arizona State that looked at the Gold Line versus the Orange Line, which are pretty comparable systems in terms of corridors, and the local environmental impact is so much more significant than it is for the Gold Line.
I was under the assumption that it was on concrete rather than asphalt.
Concrete.
Yeah. It is concrete.
It's concrete.
Excuse me, could you differentiate again between the light rail and the rail system proposed from Sylmar to...
So that is the East Valley Trail Corridor. But what they're looking at right now and what we expect Metro to come back with is that they're going to recommend another bus rapid transit system. And we want to make sure that we have all the boots on the ground to make sure that we say that the Valley deserves its fair share and that it should be a light rail system.
And light rail.
So in addition to the Orange Line, there would be another east-west?
No. That's the north-south here on Van Nuys Boulevard.
It would start from Pacoima down to...
That I know, yeah.
Somewhere San Fernando and then come here down into Van Nuys.
And what was it you said about... the gratings, the light rails at the stops, it would go above or below the...
Right, to minimize the traffic impacts. It also moves at such a faster speed that traffic is able to move through much quicker. As you know from coming up to the Orange Line, and I do it every day, going to the Woodman stop, you can get stuck there for several minutes just waiting for the bus to go by.
Yeah.
That would be resolved both through a faster mode, such as light rail, and because we probably have grade crossings and a grade separation.
And how would you deal with the rail system, since it's very fuzzy for the north-south corridor?
Deal with it in what way?
Well, the number of stops.
Right, so the engineering is currently underway with Metro, and they're figuring out what the stops should be, but I think a significant number of them will be in the Van Nuys Government Center. I would think most likely they're going to have to go underground here in the Government Center to prevent any major traffic impacts because there's so many streets along here.
So in effect it would be a subway system?
It would, but it would be the rail itself is just a lot thinner, hence it's called light rail, but it is able to go underground. It's what they're doing in the Crenshaw line in South LA. That's a light rail system that they're going around with.
My other concern is...
Like the LA, the Long Beach Blue Line system.
Yeah.
Right.
Underground or just here?
No, just a portion of it to prevent significant impacts here.
Okay.
My real question is...
They come back to you and talk to you about that.
So with the north-south rail system dead end here in Van Nuys, how would it link up with the bigger project along the Sepulveda Corridor?
So they're being looked at as comparable systems. So right now Metro is looking at it ending at the Orange Line, but eventually it's going to need to connect over with the Sepulveda Pass. So it would either do that here in Van Nuys, here at the Van Nuys station, or at the Galleria, depending on what alignment that they decide to go with.
So clarify it again, because I'm a slow learner, but I want to be clear. What we're going to be supporting supposedly with tonight, what the north-south rail system will be dead-ended here.
That's what Metro is planning.
So there won't be any link for the main transit corridor north-south will dead-end in Van Nuys, but have no possibility to link up with the greater corridor along Sepulveda.
No, it will. It has to start there. Wherever the East Valley Transit Corridor ends is where the Sepulveda Pass Corridor would have to be. They would have to be a linkage. Essentially, it's going to end up being one line. It's just done in two separate phases.
So because if it's a subway system along Sepulveda...
It would have to move over. It depends. I mean, they're looking at various different transit curves.
Mm-hmm.
So it can either shift over on a Sepulveda or it'll go underground here and transition over. And what one of the things we're pushing is to make sure that those modes are compatible so that people don't get stuck here at the Van Nuys station.
Absolutely.
Right. That's the
they
whole
have
point.
To be the same system.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why a bus rapid transit system is going to be completely ineffective at doing that. The ridership looking to go over the hill is over 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the ridership here along Van Nuys is the second heaviest in the valley after the Orange Line and the seventh highest in the county.
Yeah.
It deserves a rail system that can accommodate the number of people.
Right.
And the kind of economic development that comes with it. With a rail system, unlike with the BRT system, Metro will have to invest in beautification and public works along the corridor to make sure that the kind of economic development that needs to happen when the corridor will happen.
Yeah.
So probably a lot of transit-oriented development, possible housing, mixed-use projects that will help to boost the economic core, particularly in Valens.
Like what they have in North Hollywood?
Like what they have in North Hollywood.
I think in most places where they have transit stops, they've been having transit-oriented development that has been exponentially, you know.
I mean, the Gold Line was essentially, the corridor along the Gold Line was pretty much vacant. Now they have all kinds of housing and workplace, and there's a big push at the state level for mixed use or transit oriented development.
Mm-hmm.
By having a rail corridor here along Van Nuys, we'll have access to the federal and the state funding that's coming in. With the cap and trade system, they're looking at dedicating about 15% specifically to transit oriented development. We would be eligible for some of that funding.
Yeah.
Doug, I noticed that you've been going to different neighborhood councils and getting support, and I think you're trying to get a coalition of neighborhood councils to come together as maybe as an agreement that, you know, light rail is good for the area, not necessarily for Van Nuys, but all of San Francisco.
For everyone. I mean, the fact of the matter is the East Valley corridor will service the Metrolink station and the entire, both East Valley and the West Valley, because of the connectivity with the Orange Line to help people flow through it. It means more customers at a lower environmental and social impact than would all the driving and all the traffic the Valley suffers from.
And also, I think if and when high-speed rail comes, it'll also have another connection option right there when high-speed rail finally comes to LA.
That's right. I mean, they're looking at either the Selmar San Fernando station, which is where this corridor would start, or Burbank Airport. And there is an effort now to connect Burbank Airport with the Orange Line and with the East Valley line. So
it wouldn't have to go far. I mean, literally.
Yeah, it's just trying to find the route.
It's expensive. I mean, the property is not cheap here.
Right, but with it coming in, we are then have access to the high-speed rail money as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, putting light rail gives us access to a lot more, particularly state funding, but also federal funding because of the large push. And we're in communication with our congressional leadership and with the Department of Transportation on ways to make sure that we get that kind of investment. But it has to happen in partnership with light rail.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we go forward and if this, the Plum Committee sort of wants to bring it to the general meeting, what type of letter of support do you want to send to? Because I know in Panorama City, they want to direct it to Metro.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah, that's going to be the best, is for it to go to Metro, particularly on the East Valley Corridor. The environmental impact report was supposed to come out for the East Valley corridor next month. They've now pushed it back again to next summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Next summer?
Yeah.
Next year?
Yeah. Summer 2015.
Really?
So we want to rally the troops to make sure that we're going to Metro and making sure that we get things moving as fast as possible.
Do you know
absurd.
The reason why they...
They said it was more complex than they thought. That's all.
Well... Everything's complex.
I know. That's what they're able to do. The things at the airport. They're able to do things on the west side and
the Crenshaw
Valley, the Crenshaw line. They're investing a lot of money into.
Yeah. But there's a quagmire here.
Right.
Yeah.
And essentially, we need to scare them a little bit. Other regions are organizing in a significant way to make sure that they get their fair share. We want to make sure the Sacramento Valley does.
And just I'll only ask again.
Sure.
So you did say that along the Civic Center, you and you or they or the planners would prefer it to be underground.
That's one of the plans. Yeah.
What are the borders of the Civic Center? Does it start at Sherman Way, Van Owen, or Victory?
Here I have a map on what they consider. I think they, so it looks like, you know, and I'm happy to pass out more of those, but that shows you what the ridership is like along the corridor.
Right.
I have more copies that talks about it. So it's going to depend on what happens within the system. They haven't gotten to that point yet to decide how that would work.
Yeah, because they gave four alternatives as far as
right.
what type of transit that they're thinking of. One is do nothing at all. The other one is BRT. The other one is a tramway, which is a streetcar.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is light rail.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer something that moves more people than sort of like
than
a
red car.
Than
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we looked at the tram system, and it's possible they're going to come back and recommend it. The problem with that is that the capacity just isn't significant enough
of course.
For it to get over the hill. So it has to be compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at very different variations on what a light rail system is, but they haven't gotten to that point yet. So
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, I don't have a clear answer for you because they haven't given me a clear answer yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And our push is on the mode, not necessarily
mm-hmm.
on the route itself.
Mm-hmm.
Although VICA, the coalition is its own entity, but VICA itself has a strong position that it needs to be down Van Nuys Boulevard,
yeah.
it should be light rail.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have the least amount of impact on the businesses and the residents in the area.
Now, Doug, do you represent VICA?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fine.
And
just wondered where
are you also sort of communicating with the Chamber of Commerce or other entities?
We are. So we actually have a pretty wide coalition already. The Greater San Fernando Valley Chamber of Commerce is a member, as is the Winnetka Chamber of Commerce. Reseda Neighborhood Council was the first neighborhood council to come on board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also doing presentations to the Midtown North Hollywood, Panorama City, Lake Balboa,
and Valley Glen.
Valley Glen at some point.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
have you contacted Jill Barad Banks yet?
Jill is on our board. We're waiting to talk to the neighborhood councils that are along the corridors,
right,
to make sure that we meet with all of you before going to the full
Vank.
Yeah,
because Vank is really, I mean, that's a one stop for you
right.
guys, obviously, but it's too inclusive. I mean, it's too broad in scope,
right?
Because it's going to involve people that have absolutely no vested interest here whatsoever. But the point is that it's 34 councils,
right?
You know,
that's
a big bang.
Who funds
yeah.
you?
VICA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You might want to explain what VICA stands
for. Sure. So, the Valley Industry and Commerce, we've been around for since 1946. We're a business advocacy association made of about, well, exactly actually as of last week, 400 major businesses in the Valley. We employ, our members employ over a quarter million people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we've been a major Valley stakeholder for, you know, 70 plus years, and so what we want is for the Valley to get its fair share.
Whereabouts are you located? I mean, where's the headquarters?
We're actually right outside of Van Nuys. We're in Sherman Oaks, right at Van Nuys and
Magnolia?
Across from the Senior Center. In the same building as
okay.
the Valley Economic Development.
Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys Park?
Yeah, no, I got it. So it's two blocks out of our jurisdiction.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
The brown building.
Just
yes.
the blocks
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
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 The big ugly brown building. That's right.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like to see if we could get a vote. Just
absolutely.
Anybody second it?
I'll second it.
Okay. Jerry, would you, should we, to bring it to the executive and then to
mm-hmm.
the general meeting
yeah.
as far as, Valley on Track?
Okay. So I guess, Grant?
Yes.
Yes.
Howard?
Yes.
Maria?
Can I vote for just the first part of the sentence and abstain on the second?
Which one is, request a letter of support for rail on the
along the orange line, but I support it in principle, but it's just that I'd like to be more assured that we're not going to get a Mickey Mouse connection to the greater system again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, our coalition is working for exactly that. There's no way that we're going to allow.
Yeah, you can't go half-ass and then stop right there.
No, it'd be absurd.
Because there wouldn't be progress as far as
right.
This is
but the way it is, it doesn't preclude that you will get again a so-called half-assed Mickey Mouse
mm-hmm.
development.
Oh yeah.
Well, I can tell you what you're saying is exactly what the coalition is pushing for. So
yeah, they just want to push it and make them notice as far as, you know, we're not going to take anything less than what you're going to propose. You know.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, what we'd like to see is for the Van Nuys station and this Van Nuys corridor here
mm-hmm.
to become the hub, become the Union Station.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
Without all the major development that's going to have a heavy impact on the community.
And
have a significant economic development.
And one of the things that I was thinking is because I was hoping that Mr. Anand was there because one of the things on Long Van Nuys that Mayor Garcetti was talking about is the Great Streets Initiative.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, having not only improved the streets, but also have some type of mass transit along there, and also to bring business there would just change the whole thing as far as, you know, what, you know, Van Nuys has been sort of unnoticed.
And going downhill, you know, for 110 years.
Yeah, because the city doesn't.
Yeah, they don't acknowledge
that's
it.
The way that they should.
You know, there was an improvement initiative that went down probably about 15 years ago, that some of the facades were replaced and modernized.
But it's insufficient.
Happy Dog.
Right.
they put a thing around the top of Happy Dog, and that's what they called it.
Well,
you know,
I think.
Improvement.
Well, the thing is that we have a Van Nuys business design overlay zone.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, we don't know if it exists or not because we're trying to figure out who decides on the criteria that whenever there's a change of business. They're going to change their facade, and does that follow the line of
the overlay?
Yeah, the overlay zone. So, and who oversees it? So, basically, we're thinking that planning is, but we're sort of like left in the dark as far as you know what our improvements. You know, so
your vote was yes. Right.
I'm just trying to.
Did Reno vote?
Yeah,
I'm
yes.
just trying to see if. Vika is willing to go with the Great Street Initiative, and also what we're trying to do is a business improvement district, as far as because I know, because North Hollywood has one, Panorama City has one, and this is that we don't.
It's absurd.
Yeah,
it's absolutely shit.
Yeah, and I think
the
that
core.
Yeah,
the core of the valley is here.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys would be willing to sort of help us as far as creating this business improvement district.
Okay.
You know, I think.
Yeah. Have you met with Nuri to talk about? Sorry, Councilwoman Martinez.
Yeah. I'm trying to push it right then and there. I was
right.
Like, can
he has?
I know that Daniel, what's his name? Who was with Cardinus's office for a long time?
Skolnick.
Yeah.
Was pushing something similar, so that's good.
Yeah, and
I don't know how that's carried over.
That's from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And
when I started, like,
it's kind of gone by the wayside.
I've heard it. It used to have one, but it was cut by Wendy Grohl.
No, there was no business improvement district here.
I think he's got more on the ball than we give him credit for. I mean, I was with him last weekend. So
who, Daniel Skolnick?
Ackley.
Ackley? Yeah.
Alex.
Actually, I'm pretty much meet with Ackley, you know, once a month and talk about giving updates on certain project that might be coming into our club committee.
And Councilwoman Martinez is a coalition member as well.
Yeah.
As is Council Member Fuentes. CD7,
Jerry
Nazarian,
Matt
DeBobne, all of the elected officials that represent Van Nuys are members of the coalition.
Yeah, and I think Nuri is an absolute vibrant human being.
Absolutely.
And as far as
she's pushing hard on this to make sure that the valley gets its fair share of transportation.
Do you also want, like, other letter support, not only for Metro, but toward the mayor or something?
That would be wonderful, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the mayor is the chair of Metro right now.
Yeah.
So
right.
Anything we push with him. We've met with his transportation staff a few times.
I see a community impact statement here also. I mean, I really do. Besides having a letter of support, I think the community
Well, the
statement.
Community impact doesn't apply to the county necessarily. It goes to the city, right?
Correct.
Right.
So we would have to get one for the community impact statement to Nuri, and then one letter to Metro and
right
to I guess the county supervisor.
Well, whoever's going to take Zev's place.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I do remember that VICA completed some kind of a survey during the time of the TNI, which is like 14 years ago, 1998, 2000, whatever it was. They completed a survey, and I did attend that meeting where they said that the commercial land banking slumlords along Van Nuys Boulevard paid a much lower assessment, property tax assessment, on their properties, like per square foot of frontage.
Oh, really?
And they had no interest in forming a bid where they would be assessed additional fees.
Hmm.
So I think that the issue really is the... I'm saying this because this is what I really have observed, and this is my experience after 25 years of living with it. The commercial land banking slumlords along Van Nuys Boulevard are responsible for the problems. And they don't want to invest anything. In fact, a lot of them said, well, what are we going to get for this? What are we going to get out of it for free? You know, they wanted to have handouts and weren't willing to invest in the community. So.
You can see evidence of that on the sidewalk in front of every single building on Van Nuys Boulevard. It's a compendium of gum, you know?
I know. It's awful.
Yeah.
You know, and this new proposal that I believe Corian put it through... on the sidewalk replacement thing, the 50-50 share. I have no interest in taking out a long, a low interest, long term loan to replace the sidewalk in front of my house. It's perfect the way it is, you know, and I'm sure that's going to be the attitude to every single person that owns property on Van Nuys Boulevard. I mean, I get out there with a chisel and get rid of the gum that's left on my sidewalk. There is no gum on the sidewalk in front of my house.
Right.
But, I mean, it's like an island in a sea of crap,
right.
You know?
So I do support VICA and its efforts, but unless VICA is willing to also be equally fierce in its objectives and pursuit of, you know, what it...
Yeah.
And bid along Van Nuys Boulevard, I believe I'll be dead before it happens.
Okay.
Well,
hopefully not.
We should take this issue up.
So,
absolutely.
No, I mean, you came up to us, or I came up to you.
Yeah.
As far as, and, you know, I hopefully that you guys could be partners in trying to create.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
You can send me more information about it. I'll
sure, yeah, and I'll have Paul, you know, but I'm sort of like, trying to figure out where he stands, because I know he's trying to do a bid somewhat similar to it, but until I see the pudding, I won't eat it.
Yeah.
You know. So he put that to me, and I'm giving the opportunity to, you know, to run with it. If he's not able to run it, then we're gonna find someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so
that's how I see it.
It
can't continually be the same six people doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's 19 people on the council. Somebody else has got to chime in.
You know, and plus, you have to prod them with the cattle.
I know, just to
get them going. I mean. If he's not able to, we'll find someone else to.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. All
so,
right. So we have
So we'll move it your agenda to the executive and then to the general.
So again, the executive board meeting will be on the first Monday of the following month at 6:30, and it will take place at 6262 Van Nuys Boulevard, which is the Browdy Constituency Center.
I'm very familiar
right
with
right on the corner. We're planning holds their meetings, but it'll be in the smaller room rather than room B. It'll be in room A, which is the smaller
right on the corner. Yeah,
yes. September 1st is a Monday. It's a holiday.
So is that?
Isn't it Labor Day?
Yeah. So and we cannot move it. We cannot move it to Tuesday because we're running into problems with the police testing that takes place.
Yeah. So.
We will come up with a solution. It may be the last Monday of August.
Okay.
Is it the space problem?
It's next week, pretty much.
How many
people
do you think we're going to have that?
I don't know. You're thinking your place?
Yeah, my conference room. It's okay.
All right.
Fits in 24 people.
Maybe we
I
could do our club committee there.
As long as it's under 24 people, I have no problem.
Okay.
That's why I was wondering, why do we meet the first time I came into the club committee? Why do we meet at the police station?
Yeah, well,
it was the only. It was the only because we couldn't meet in there because of the police testing.
Right.
So and it's open 24 hours, so.
Yeah.
So
well, the building is 24/7 anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful room.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Have you been there?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where our offices are going to be.
Okay.
So your process is that it goes to your executive committee and then it goes to your full board?
Right.
Okay.
Right. It gets shuttled through the Plum Committee recommendations to the executive board. Executive board recommends to the full general meeting, and then the general board then votes on it. All board members vote on it.
So when is the general board meeting?
The board meeting is always the second Wednesday.
Okay.
Of the month at 7 o'clock, same location.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Doug.
Absolutely.
We're almost finished.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I thought there were banners there.
How long did you want us to? How long of a presentation would you like?
You know, 10 minutes is plenty. You know, I mean.
Usually each agenda would probably take 15 minutes or something like that.
We,
10 minutes to present.
It's usually 10 minutes to present and 5 minutes for questions and answers. Okay?
And both of these meetings are at 7 o'clock?
All right.
So
6:30.
Yeah, once at 6:30, full board is at 7.
7, correct. Mm-hmm.
And usually, like when we started, their agenda items, so maybe later, like maybe half hour after it starts, would be a good opportunity. But I'll send you the agenda and I'll let you know what's a good time to show up if you're like Z or something. Or
yeah you don't want to be there for the whole meeting.
Yeah, you don't want to be.
Yeah.
it gets boring and contentious. So
yeah, I know. I was at the Midtown North Hollywood last week.
Well,
it was a long meeting.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
I don't know. I haven't seen
it is the best show in the valley.
Yeah.
Well, I think Miriam's the star of it somewhat.
And so is Candido.
Yeah, that too.
All right. So let's. Do we have any final public comment?
Do we have any final public comment?
I, even though I'm not part of this, I did bring a guest.
Oh, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Freddie Cooper Ames. I'm actually a board member for the North Hollywood West Neighbor Council. I'm also a budget representative, and was there last Saturday. So hopefully, work with all neighbor councils at least to get Region 4.
Mm-hmm.
In order.
Yeah.
Also, I'm supposed to be the the captain for Region 4 for the outreach and for Tux meetings that Empower LA did give.
Right.
I'm still receiving, trying to wait for the Tux information from Dunn.
Can you explain what
breath.
The Tux?
Oh, the Tux is more for technology,
mm-hmm.
user experience.
Mm-hmm.
So the technical side, whether it be YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and your website itself and how to use it to best communicate what you're doing to the outside public so that more people can come to the meetings.
I would suggest that you also create an agenda for streaming video also.
Definitely, but for the Tux meeting, it was already happened a while ago. I'm just trying to get their information that they gave
gotcha.
Me to relate
okay.
to the rest of the neighborhood
okay.
councils.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, my power is very limited in that. I wish we could do streaming too.
Yeah, yeah. Because there are a number of local cable affiliates that will allow government channel streaming. But we've all failed to take advantage of that. Because we videotape every single meeting, and we make the videotapes available on our... we post the video on our website.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. With the Zoom mic, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, we have full video cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Head of most neighborhood councils.
Well,
we want
it's
to
me and him.
I don't know. It's just
we're technocrats.
Yeah.
Freddie is breathtakingly technology.
Yeah.
I work with him at Musicians Institute. So
very good.
Yeah.
So currently trying to apply what I'm studying to the neighborhood council system.
Very good.
Yes.
Good
thank
to
you.
Have.
You.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, hopefully, I mean. We have a short agenda, so, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Okay, so any announcements that anybody would like?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just like to thank everybody who come to the Plum Committee, and thank you for coming, and the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you very much for having us.